Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, loaded today. We're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me in Los Angeles. Crazy night. I'm not going to get into it. Joy Taylor and I are ready to go on a Wednesday where there's a dozen great new football stories. How are you, Joy?
I'm great. Hard Knocks was awesome, huh?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Very revealing.
Very revealing. I want to start with this, Joy. You know when you play the Powerball? And if you ever win the Powerball, and if Joy wins the Powerball, she will not be on this show the next day. She'll be with her old in the Bahamas. And if I win, I will be here because I have no life. But the point is, when you win Powerball, the way it works, regulated by states, you can either take a lump sum, right? Or you can take like 30 years of payments. Now, if you take a lump sum, they won't give you as much money. They'll give you like 70% of the money. Or you can take 100% of the money, but it's you get it over the course of 30 years. Now, most people, they say take the lump sum. I don't think there's a better choice. I wouldn't want the stress of the lump sum. I'd rather have the guaranteed income, right? But you have to make a choice. Are you seeking security or massive immediate wealth? So Ezekiel Elliott, like a lot of running backs, is seeking security, but he also wants immediate wealth. Time out. So Ezekiel Elliott's holding out. They're not close. So free agency was created to make athletes rich, go to the market, and it's a bidding war. That's how it works for me and Joy. Our contracts are up. We're free agents. We go out to the market, and if we've done a good job, people bid on us. And the owner said, okay, let's do free agency. And the player said, yeah, we like free agency. But if you're going to break free agency 2 years early to seek security like the Powerball, I'm not going to make you the highest paid and give you the security. Because you're a running back, and we have Alfred Morris, and we'll draft another one, and our offensive line's great, and our quarterback's getting better, and we've got a bunch of good mouths to feed that are young and excellent players. Because once a player relinquishes free agency, and that's what Zeke wants, I don't want to go to free agency, well, then I'm only bidding against myself. I'm Jerry Jones, I'm Stephen Jones. Free agency scares me because now I got to bet against my rivals. The Eagles may come and the Patriots and the Steelers. Free agency is not great for owners, but they have been willing in a collective bargaining agreement to allow free agency. They're like, okay, we own all the teams. Free agency, you negotiate it. Okay. Free agency is why LeBron James only signed 1 year contracts so he could go back into the market so LeBron could control it. That's what Kevin Durant did, a 1 year contract, so I can control it. I want to get to free agency. That's what players are trying to do. But if you go to the league and you say, okay, I'll relinquish free agency. I want security to be paid now. Well, then I'm only bidding against myself, and I'm not going to give you the most money. The lottery doesn't allow you to take the most money, and it's all guaranteed for security. You got to make a choice. And if Zeke wants to break free agency, then you don't get the security you're seeking and the lump sum. Because I'm only bidding against myself. Stephen Jones said they are not currently close.
I think you could easily get out of Oxnard and be back in Dallas before anything gets done. Matter of fact, I don't see any momentum that would lead me to believe that we're going to get anything done while we're out here.
I'll say it again. I would roll the dice. The Cowboys open up with three really rebuilding teams. One, you could argue Miami is tanking. Washington, they open up with the New York Giants. They open up with Miami. I'd roll the dice. Dak's getting better. A full offseason with Amari. New innovative offensive coaches. The offensive line for the first time in a year is healthy. The schedule's easy. I'm the Cowboys. I roll the dice, go 3-0, and get back some leverage if I've, in fact, lost any. But it's funny, you know, you go to certain social media devices and everybody's like, pay, 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 pay. These are called contract negotiations. I've been in 12 in my career. I've been in 12 negotiations in my career, locally, regionally, nationally. Okay, there's times I've had leverage. There's times, maybe my first contract at the other place, I didn't have a lot of leverage. But you never get everything. So if you're going to break free agency and give that to the owners, well, then you're not getting the lump sum and security. So I think Dallas has, in my opinion, I buy what the Joneses are selling, which is we're pretty good here. We're better with you, but we're pretty good here. And we're going to kind of wait on this thing, and we're not resetting the market. All right, I want to shift to Antonio Brown and his feet. They're gross. He can't practice. So Hard Knocks was on last night. It's very, very revealing, Hard Knocks is. And I'll get to some of that later. I thought they needed more John Gruden, and I think the Raiders are paralyzed by their past, which isn't nearly as good as the Steelers' past or the Packers' past, but they're paralyzed by it. But Antonio Brown had a very cute moment with his kids, his sons, at camp, talking about his former team, the Steelers, and Big Ben.
Where's Roderick?
Huh?
Where's Roderick?
He played with the Steelers. Our quarterback, Derek, now.
We don't play with Roethlisberger no more.
We play with the Raiders. We play with Derek Carr. That's my quarterback. You know his name? What's his name?
Derek Carr.
Derek Carr.
Now where's him, Daddy?
He's over there, number four. Yeah, out there practicing.
Cutest kids in the world. But it's an interesting moment. I'm a big believer that fit matters. When Kevin Durant chose Kyrie over Steph, it's not about the cities or the coaches. I like Steph as a teammate better than Kyrie as a teammate. Fit matters. Big Ben and AB were a good fit. Big Ben is a deep ball thrower. The Steelers had a great O-line, allowing Big Ben to sit in the pocket and the fast receiver to run. They also had a star receiver on the other side, limiting the double teams to Antonio Brown. Do you know in the last, I don't know, what is it, 15 years, Big Ben is second in the NFL in 25-plus yard TDs. And Antonio Brown's a home run hitter. I think they were a great fit. Edelman runs precise routes. Brady is a precision thrower. Great match. Great match. OBJ runs the best slant in the league. Baker Mayfield is great on those quick slants. They'll be a great fit. Get them on your fantasy team. There are players that really fit other players. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, Cannon, Tyreek Hill, world's fastest football player. Drew Brees, by the way, likes to throw short, intermediate, middle of the field. Michael Thomas, they just signed him. Why I like him? Big receiver, can go into the middle of the field, catch the ball, and take the hits. Fit matters. Okay, Derek Carr is not going to fit Antonio Brown as well as Big Ben fit Antonio Brown. Now, I think Big Ben may miss Antonio Brown, but in this world we live in, quarterbacks dictate receivers more than receivers dictate quarterbacks. I mean, not even OBJ could elevate Eli Manning out of his doldrums, but yet we've had many instances where a very, very good quarterback took, I don't know, Wes Welker or Julian Edelman and made them national iconic figures. So, you know, when I look at AB in Oakland, I have a shaky offensive line. I have a quarterback that's more intermediate than deep ball. I don't have another star receiver on the field to take away heat. I think Antonio Brown reminds me a little of Kevin Durant. I think Kevin should have put his arms around Steph Curry and realized, man, that's a good superstar teammate. He works well with everybody. And whoever's fault it was in Pittsburgh, I think Big Ben's going to miss AB. But quarterbacks control receivers more than vice versa. I think AB's going to miss Big Ben. He won't admit it now. And his kids may be confused now, but I think it'll become very clear very soon that AB left the perfect quarterback for his skill set. The perfect offensive line, the perfect complementary wide receiver, a coach that was progressive in Mike Tomlin and very player-friendly. And, by the way, an organization that lets their guys, they had, remember this about AB, the Steelers generally don't pay their receivers. They draft them well and let them go. They let Plax go. They let Santonio Holmes go. They let Mike Wallace go. They let Emmanuel Sanders go. They paid AB. So they loved him more than he thinks. They've let great receivers go. They paid AB. They liked AB. Now, Big Ben and he didn't get along. That's fine. But I'm watching that thing last night, and I can't get past AB. I think AB did a KD. I think you left a great teammate. Sometimes you just fit manners. You got to make it work. Not saying it's all your fault, KD. Not saying it's all your fault, AB. You got to make it work. I think AB left a perfect situation.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
As I've aged, I try to be very aware of new stuff. I update my phone every year. My wife and I are very aware of all the technology because we have young kids. And so I have a bunch of young people in my life. This staff, Joy's younger than me. My staff is younger than me. In Goulet's case, also very irresponsible. But the point being, I like young around me, and I like new stuff. But not all new stuff is legit. Okay, a lot of new stuff is shiny and fun, but it won't prove the test of time. I mean, I'm old enough to remember the pet rock. That was a thing. It disappeared in about 6 months. A lot of new bands have a great song. Doesn't make them the Beatles. Doesn't make them Jay-Z. Okay? There's a big difference between one-hit wonders and wonderful talents. So running quarterbacks now, everybody wants a running quarterback. Run. Three of the last four quarterbacks last year that finished the season were Goff can't run, Brady can't run, Breeze can't run. And by the way, Mahomes can run, but he's really a pocket passer. Patrick Mahomes wants to throw the ball from the pocket, and if I had that arm, I would too. Okay, so running quarterbacks, Kyler Murray. Cam Newton, it's announced, will not play in the preseason opener. For the record, I would never have Cam Newton in the stadium. I would never have Brady, Cam, any franchise quarterback. Andrew Luck, I don't want you near the stadium. So I would never play Cam in the preseason. He's too valuable, and he's my franchise quarterback. But just to show you about all these, I love my quarterback to run. Cam Newton is 6'6", 255. I stood next to Cam Newton on a stage in New York 7-8 years ago. He is a massive athlete. He is not a big athlete. He is a massive athlete. He is bigger than Khalil Mack. He is bigger than Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald's 6 foot. Cam Newton's 6'6", and faster. Aaron Donald's stronger. The point being that Cam Newton got hit in week 10 by an athlete smaller than him. And according to a story this morning, he's still hurt. Here's the hit on Cam Newton, week 10.
Well, we're going to see Carolina. They got plenty of time.
Newton gets hit. Ball is out. McCaffrey able to get back on top of it as T.J. Watt came in and laid the hit on Cam Newton. Wow.
Kyler Murray is 5'10", 204. Lamar Jackson, 6'3", 211. Cam Newton weighs 50 pounds more, is 5 pounds heavier, took a hit from a young linebacker just out of college who's smaller than him and is still hurt. You keep telling me about all this. I like mobility, as in escapability. Move away from hits. I don't want running quarterbacks. I'm not into Trubisky. I'm not into Lamar. I'm not into Kyler. It's fun, but if Cam Newton, from that one hit in week 10, is still hurt. You've never stood next to Cam Newton. He's bigger than Greg Olsen, his star tight end. He's bigger than his left tackle. He's the biggest athlete, he and Big Ben, in my life at that position. So all I know is defensive players are getting faster. They're getting more athletic. Every combine, they bench press more. They jump higher. They're not slowing down. That tells me Dwayne Haskins is the future, not Kyler Murray. Murray may be way more interesting, but Dwayne Haskins is a 6'5", 232-pound man, actually kid developing into a man. I'm going to go with that. I know nobody thinks Jared Goff and Brady and Bree. Russell Wilson's a small man. He runs around. The key is he never seems to get hit. You ever notice that with Russell Wilson? Andrew Luck is a huge man. I've stood next to Andrew Luck. 6'4.5", 6'5", 260. Joy and I talked about this the other day. He's just a big man. He's not healthy again coming into a season. I don't want to hear about running quarterbacks. I know it's new, cool, fun, shiny, wow. I'll take pocket guys. Cam still hurt from that hit from a smaller guy.
What's up, everybody? John Middlecoff, that's me. Three and Out Podcast, that's where I give my football takes. Colin Cowherd's Podcast Network. I used to work in the NFL. I now just spit my opinions. Tom Brady, can he play till 50? Bruce Arians, can he really save Jameis Winston? Why do players, once they hold out, end up coming back without a raise? I don't get it. Again, John Middlecoff, Three and Out Podcast. Go subscribe.
Antonio Cromartie played for 11 years, four-time Pro Bowler, and wants to be a coach and interned a little bit for the New York Jets.
Yes,
you will be a coach. You're
I
good.
Will be.
You're a very good communicator. You only come on our show like once a year. You're always welcome. You're a busy guy.
Hey, I'm willing to come on, and this is how you need me here.
Okay, so you're with the Jets. I just want to clarify, because I live in Los Angeles. People think I like the Jets because of Sam Darnold, and I do love Sam Darnold.
Okay,
you were at camp. You intern as a linebacker coach because
yes.
Todd Bowles said you know enough about corners. come coach the linebackers. So you dealt a lot with Sam Darnold. What did you see every day?
His decision-making was the best I saw from a young guy. Not only that, man, he gets the ball out of his hand so quick. Learned the offense and picked it up very well. Can make every single throw. But he took control of the offense. That's what impressed me the most. Like, I was around a Mark Sanchez when he was younger. I was around a Phillip Rivers when he was younger. You know, but I've never seen a young quarterback like that just take control of the offense and make sure he understood where guys were supposed to be.
Now, he's a young quarterback. So Darnold's the youngest quarterback ever to, I think, there's a stat in the NFL to throw for over 10 touchdowns. So he wasn't intimidated by veteran players.
No, I don't know. Intimidated for what? He's played at some of the big schools. He played in the Pac-10 or the Pac-12.
USC, yeah.
So, you know, it's like he's looking at it as, I'm just going to go ahead and just do what I'm supposed to do. You know, I'm gonna make better decisions going into his second year. That's where the growth part for him is gonna come. It's making better decisions in the second year, and making the right throws and not throwing the ball across his body when he doesn't need to.
Yeah, and that's just part of the learning curve. Now,
definitely.
Baker Mayfield, I also think is talented. I don't love his personality. He's a little much for me. I think you have to earn respect before you chug beer. I think if you're a franchise quarterback, I'd like you to have a little more discretion. But I'm told you're okay with the beer chugging.
I'm okay with it. I mean, why are we giving Baker Mayfield so much problems when Aaron Rodgers has done it, when Tom Brady has done it? I mean, it's chugging a beer.
He's
having a great time. He's not looking for the attention. The attention is coming to him.
You like your franchise quarterback doing that? Look pretty good at that.
For me, hey, I love it. I can go hang out with this guy off the field.
So you think as a teammate, I'm good?
Oh, I'm good. Cause I know I see what he's gonna give me every single day in practice. He's gonna study. He's gonna work his tail off. He's gonna make sure he try to make the right throws. He's gonna do what's best for the team. I mean, this here is just him having a good time. I mean, we're still human at the end of the day. As players, we gotta stop trying to put so much on the players like we're not human. We're gonna go out and have a good time, but we know how to make sure that we're safe and doing it the right way.
I want to talk about the holdout with Zeke. You know, I was saying this earlier. If you won the Powerball, you can either take the lump sum and they give you less, or you can take the security. They'll pay it for 30 years. Mm-hmm. You don't get both. Because if you take the security, you get more money, but you don't get the lump sum. If you're a football player and you come to me as an owner 2 years before you're up, I'll negotiate. Now, free agency was created for a bidding war.
Yes, it was.
Okay. But if you come to me 2 years before free agency, I'm just bidding against myself. I'll give you the security you seek, but I'm not giving you the security and make you the highest paid player. Like, I would struggle as an owner to do that.
I mean, I think every owner struggles with that. But I think with Zeke's case, his whole thing is he's telling the team that he's going to hold out. You're going to hold out for what? You hold out, you're not going to get a credit this season, so they still got 4 years for you. Not only that, but what are you going to do? You have 2 years left on your contract. They don't have to do anything at all. They can let it ride out. Next year is going to be a holdout. So, I mean, say a lockout. So what you going to do then? So you're going to be out of football for almost 2 years.
Now, Le'Veon Bell held out for a year.
Yeah, and lost $16 million.
I know he did.
You lose $16 million. Like I said, the wisest thing I've ever been told by Keenan McCardell, never hold out. Lost over $1 million or $2 million a
year. Keenan McCardell, UNLV football player, wide receiver, Jacksonville. Remember him well.
Yes. Held out. Had a long holdout. I think he said he lost over something, $1 million or $2 million. And he said, I never get it back. So at the end of the day, I understand the logistics of everything that you want to do. But let's be smart. Why throw away money? Like Zeke's right now is losing $40,000 a day.
A day.
You will not ever get that money back. No matter how big your contract is, you'll never get that money back. Because now you're losing that money on top of the money that you could have received on a long-term deal.
Now, I believe you have to pay Dak. There are those that say next year's draft has three good quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Dallas could trade some of their good linebackers. I mean, I just look at Dak, and I think the eye test, Antonio, is tricky.
Yes, it is.
Eli Manning didn't pass an eye test. Okay, Cam Newton passes an eye test. Baker Mayfield doesn't pass an eye test. Russell Wilson didn't pass an eye test. Tom Brady at the combine didn't pass an eye test.
There you go.
Yeah, when it comes to quarterbacks, I'm looking for a lot of shoulders up. When it comes to toughness, availability, decision-making, I like Dak. Now, eye test, he didn't have a great arm. Mm-hmm. Matt Ryan doesn't have a great arm.
No.
Matt Stafford passes the eye test. He's got a great arm. I'd pay Dak. What do you make of him as a franchise quarterback? Do you think he's a franchise quarterback?
I believe he is. I definitely believe he's a franchise quarterback, but where do you put him at? I'm definitely going to put him above Kirk Cousins. I mean, Kirk Cousins got paid $29 million mm-hmm. without a playoff appearance, no anything, no wins, no anything. So has Dak proven himself to be that quarterback to get $30 million? Yes.
He's proven himself at least as much as Kirk Cousins.
Oh, beyond Kirk Cousins. I agree. I think he's proven himself beyond Kirk Cousins. And I think he should be able to get paid. But it's the whole thing. You have those three guys. You have Amari Cooper, you have Zeke, and you have Dak. So now who are you going to pay first? And how is everything going to work out? You say you want to put all of them in the top five. That's not going to work for everybody. So how are you gonna work that out?
I would always pay my quarterback first.
Oh, quarterback's always supposed to be paid first. But Zeke is also the front runner for the offense. The offense goes through him. Run game, pass game goes through him. Amari is the bonus. That's just been real. He's the bonus. And if they wanted to really pay Amari, they would have paid him. That's why you bring Jason Witten in to have another scapegoat when the thing is not going right with Amari Cooper.
Antonio Cromartie is joining us, 11 years in the NFL, four-time Pro Bowler. Hard Knocks.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't love it. I felt like last night sometimes Gruden was kind of playing to the camera a little bit. I think if you put cameras anywhere in my life, I think I would play to them at some point.
Yeah, I think you have to.
Right? Now, you were with the Jets when they did Hard Knocks.
Yes.
You were aware of the cameras, were you?
You don't really be aware of them. I think people better understand, like, a lot of stuff that goes on with Hard Knocks, it goes on before the season. It goes before you go into training camp. So everyone has that, they're doing this life story on they picked them one person or two people for that night or that episode.
Right.
That some of that stuff happens before the season, and they follow you through the training camp, through the whole entire thing, and how everything is going. So, like, you don't really pay attention to them because during practice, they're on the sideline. Yeah, they'll follow you around. But, like, when you're in your drills, they're there, but they're off to the side. They're doing everything else. They're filming other things, and you don't really pay attention to them unless they're calling you over and saying, hey, can we do an interview with you or something like that.
Did you watch last night at all?
I didn't have a chance to get away to watch last night,
yeah.
But I heard that, you know, Gruden was making his speech, and then you had some guys, star
pushing
guys,
back.
Pushing back and standing up and not, you know, I'm just like – at the end of the day, like I think someone said earlier, Tony Brown was standing up in the back, like in the back, didn't want to be up in the front. Like, dude, you're the number one receiver on this team. You just got paid a butt full of money. Like, you should be not even in the front row. Go sit down, just show your respects. Your head coach is talking. And that's what it's about.
Some of the guys on our staff felt that some of the rookies were talking back to Gruden, and it wasn't, you know, Gruden used to be a barker. He was in command. He's loosened up. Some of the Raiders were not the most respectful to Gruden.
Well, you got to think about this. All these players are entitled. It's entitlement for them. It's not.
Did you feel that at the end of your career? It was more and more happening?
Yeah, it's more entitlement. It's when you bring in the young guys, it's more about entitlement than it is going out and going to work for what you have.
So take me to your rookie year and take me to your last year. You noticed the change.
For my rookie year, man, I had guys, Quinn Jammer, Drayden Florence, you know, LT in the locker room, Randall Godfrey, Donnie Edwards. I had veteran-type guys in the locker room. So it was no point in feeling entitled. Hey, they welcome me, man. hey, this is what we need from you. This is what we need you to do. It was plain and simple. You know, I had Marty Schottenheimer as my coach.
So you had a bunch of strong leaders.
Strong leaders.
When you came into San Diego.
Definitely.
Then as you ended your career, did you feel like players coming into the league had a little more bravado, a little more attitude?
A little more attitude of not being coachable. That's the number one thing. They feel like they already know everything. They do. You got 20 hours a week in college. You don't even know how to study film. So if you can't study film, you don't know what you're going to do on Sunday. Yeah, you may have been the most athletic person on the team, but that goes out of the window. I was one of the most athletic person on the football field at one point in time, too. But I had to learn the game. I had to learn how to play. I had to make sure I watched film. And I had great coaches around me to help me do that.
You didn't know how to watch film?
No, I knew how to watch film. I learned that in college from my coach Mickey Andrews and them. So that was the one thing that when I tore my ACL, that was the number one thing I did. I used to go in the film room with my coaches when I tore my ACL at 5:45 in the morning and watch film with them because I was out for the year. So I got a chance to learn how to watch film and learn how to play the game from a mental standpoint rather than a physical standpoint.
And by the way, you want to be a coach. You interned for the Jets. Did you like it?
I loved it. Every bit of it. You know, especially when you can see guys progressing in the right way. When you see guys actually doing the things that you're teaching them to do and they're doing exactly how you need doing it, making plays, it's the excitement of that. It ain't for, you know, to glorify myself. It's like you see them and they're maturing and they're getting the chance to understand how to really play the game. It's fun, like, to see that and see the growth of a football player going throughout his career.
Yeah. So that was last year with the Jets.
Yes.
Who's the player on the Jets roster that's better than people think?
That's better
yeah.
than people think?
You coach linebackers. Is there a...
I would say Williamson, the linebacker, who came over from Tennessee.
Yeah.
He is a lot better than what people think.
And now C.J. Mosley is there?
Yeah, C.J. Mosley there. So you add those two guys who has a very high football IQ, it's gonna be fun. Not only that, but you add, to me, the best safety in the NFL on the team, in Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a guy that can go down there and he can call out every single play before it happens.
You know when the safety is great? Because if you watch football on TV, when the play starts, the safety's not in the picture. He's the only guy in the field. He's not in the picture. Jamal Adams often becomes the most important person in the picture when he starts on your TV out of the picture. He's on every play that matters.
Every play.
Every play. He's an unbelievable talent. And he and Earl Thomas in the last 7-8 years. Ed Reed just went to the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Ed Reed was that. He was like an offensive player playing defense. Earl Thomas in his prime and Jamal Adams literally start the play out of frame, and it's remarkable they can cover sideline to sideline.
Sideline to sideline. And you're going to get that every single play from Jamal. And that's the thing. That's what I saw in practice. You know, that impressed me a lot. I think it was a second-year player. He was just – I'm looking at, man, what was this dude running around like this? Coach Bo was like, just watch him.
Yeah.
This dude was going 100 miles per hour every single play and communicated. And that's what people feel to understand. If you can communicate very well on the defense side of the ball, it makes the job easier for the other 10 guys.
Yeah, he's verbal.
He's very verbal.
Yeah. Good seeing you, Bob.
Good seeing you, too.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Reggie Bush is joining us. Over a decade in the NFL, superstar at USC, a program that could be very interesting in September. Tough games.
It's gonna be very interesting.
You know, it's camp time. So yeah. John Wooden's a legendary basketball coach, the late John Wooden. He used to always say, you win the games before you play them.
Mm-hmm.
Belichick, to a large degree. My buddy Damian Woody used to always say that. When he was playing offensive line for Belichick, he said, you felt like you won the games on Thursday, Friday, that you were just more prepared.
Yep.
So let's go to camps. Give me the best camp, most organized camp you were ever at, and then the least functional camp you were ever at.
Yeah, I think so. One of the most organized camps I think I've ever been around was at USC with Coach Carroll. He knew how to make practices and competition fun within the competition, right? And so football is stressful enough. You know, obviously when you wake up in the mornings, sometimes it's hard to get out of the bed. Your body hurts like hell, and you're just in pain, right? And you're sore as heck. And so anytime a coach can find ways to just make it a little less stressful, it makes the practice flow, right? And so Coach Carroll was a master at this. We had competition Tuesdays, and competition Tuesdays were, you know, you had one-on-one pass blocking drills with the linebackers, or you had one-on-one routes with, you know, the linebackers and safeties, or you had the receivers had one-on-ones, and Coach Carroll would put you up. He would put the best competitions up on the screen in team meetings. And so if you got embarrassed or if you got beat, the whole team was going to let you know about it right there on the spot. And so that added to, I think, the camaraderie.
Intensity, accountability.
Yeah, accountability. Like, if you ended up – if you got embarrassed, and there was a couple of times where I was on there for maybe some pass blocking drills, but I would always, you know, get the linebackers back in one-on-one drills because I knew I could kill them in one-on-ones. So – I thought that was one of the most organized I've ever been around, and I think the least organized I've ever been around was my first year in Miami under Coach Sperano, rest in peace, and it was just chaos. Like, we had fights every day in practice. Sometimes those fights might have carried into the locker rooms.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy, and it was my first – I was coming from New Orleans. We had just won a Super Bowl, and I'm going to this, and I'm like, we got a lot of work to do. We're not going to be that good this year if we continue down this path. And so we had guys that were late all the time in practice.
Wow.
You know, our star players. You know, star players were the ones that were also part of the issue. And that was one of the reasons why, you know, we weren't that successful that year.
Well, I'm watching Hard Knocks on HBO. I'm not a fan of cameras. Some players, mm-hmm. or, you know, Antonio Cromartie said it wasn't that big of a deal. He said a lot of the stuff, it's on the sideline.
Yeah.
But it did look, we were talking as a staff this morning as we were preparing the show, that the Raiders looked a little loose.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a fine line. Was Pete Carroll loose? Was Sean Payton loose? How rigid do they have to be? So Sperano, it was too loose.
It was too loose.
So when you look at the Raiders and some players are pushing back at John.
Yep.
I mean, what's the standard for intensity, rigidity, looseness? Where does it fall?
So I was my first training camp in the NFL was with Sean Payton, his first rookie year as a head coach.
Wow.
And that training camp was hell. And it was, you know, you hear the term hell week. It was a real hell week. We were hitting twice a day. We were in Millsaps in Mississippi. It was hot as heck, and it was tough. Like, he was trying to change the culture of the New Orleans Saints, right? Because before he got there, they were the Aints, and, you know, fans would show up to the stadium with paper bags over their heads. And so Sean wanted to right away, you know, change the culture. So he came in kind of with that Bill Parcells mentality. Now, he's a disciple of Bill Parcells, and so he brought that mentality to
– Did it work?
It worked. It definitely worked. I don't remember any times where, you know, there was a lot of pushback. There was only one practice I remember where, you know, the locker room kind of flooded, you know, sewage flooded.
Oh,
and,
Lord.
You know, players got mad about that. But, and there was one other time where, and I will say this, where Sean, he was beating us up too much. And the players, there was one day where we pushed back and we didn't want to come out to practice. And we knew that as long as we had Drew Brees on our side, we were good. And so we ended up going out to practice, but I don't think we hit that day. So I think there is a fine line between, you know, because now Sean Payton, the Sean Payton now that I've seen, that's a totally different coach than
so
when
Gruden,
I was there.
Gruden looks a little looser than he used to be.
Gruden is a totally different coach than when he was with Tampa, right? And probably with the Raiders the first time. So I think, you know, there is definitely a different Gruden we're seeing on TV, much like there's a different Sean Payton now, because I'm watching some of these games. Like, when I went to, you know, some of the playoff games, after the games, they're in the locker room celebrating. They got the strobe lights going and partying and dancing. And I was like, this would have never happened when we was playing.
Right.
When we were there.
Well, yeah, I think culture's changed. I think there's more transparency. And I also think I think players are richer, they're more empowered, so you have to let them win sometimes too.
Yeah,
I think that's a reality. Yeah. Sometimes players,
I 100%
let them celebrate their touchdowns. Yeah. Let's give the guys some fun, right? Because, by the way, football asks a lot from its athletes.
It does.
A lot.
It's stressful enough as it is, and so anytime you see coaches that, you know, find a way to just make it just a little less stressful that day, it just makes the practice and the day go by easier.
By the way, I am, you know, I never want to be, as I age, grumpy old guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I try to embrace new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things that I believe in sports, mm-hmm. and I still believe the peanut butter jelly sandwich is the best thing in the world to eat when you're hungry.
I agree 100%.
I don't want to hear about kale 100%. Shakes.
No, I agree 100%.
All right.
I made a living off of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in college.
So a lot of old stuff is still great.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't like my quarterbacks putting their hat on backwards and chugging beer. I don't like it. I just don't. You are a billion-dollar marketing promotional tool. So you tell me as a player, do you love when you see Baker doing that?
During training camp, no. If this was off season, you know, or if this was, in a bye week, there's so much hype surrounding the Cleveland Browns right now that I'm almost a little worried it's too much hype for them to handle, right? Because they've already won a Super Bowl, according to, you know, the media and everybody else. They still have a lot of work to do. And so during training camp, listen, is this going to make or break his career? Right?
It is the youngest locker room in the NFL.
It is the youngest.
So to me, if anything, they need some maturity.
Yes, they do.
Remember when Russell Wilson took over the Seahawks years ago?
Yep.
Pete's a very good the book on Pete Carroll, he's great with young players.
Yeah, he is.
And then after about 7 years, the stories get old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Richard Sherman's like, I've heard the story, coach, right? So Pete, with Russell Wilson came in, it was a very young team.
Yeah.
And what was special about it is that Russell was uniquely mature as a quarterback, incredibly coachable.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun Watson, by the way, I think he's uniquely. Andrew Luck.
I agree.
When you got and Colts are a pretty young team. I think when you're young, I like a mature quarterback.
Yes.
I think Baker feels like a frat boy sometimes.
He does. And, you know, I think he plays to that as well sometimes. And that's his personality. But I think to the optics of seeing Baker chug beer during training camp, all you do is open yourself up for scrutiny, because if you start the season off 0-2 or
0-3, oh boy,
you know they're going to the social media is going to remind you real quick that, hey, remember that time you was chugging beer? Maybe you should have been chugging water and get ready for practice or something. You know what I mean?
No, but, I mean optics. You know, optics matter.
Optics matter, and you're the franchise quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, a team who has historically been bad for a long time. You're trying to change the culture. You're trying to be part of that culture changing process. And so, not to say that I love him getting the crowd hype. I love everything about what he did, except just the part where chugging a beer. Now, again, if it's off season, bye week, I'm cool with it. I'm okay. During training camp, probably not the best time.
By the way, did you ever hold out? You held out once.
No.
You never
held out.
I don't love holdouts, but I sometimes get them. I do think running backs now feel like they're being marginalized.
Yep.
You ever have a friend hold out? Like, I wonder if my team – training camp's hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm Zeke. All my guys are in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I may be working out in Cabo, but I am in Cabo.
Yeah.
Right. There is something –
I love Cabo, by the way. But
I love Cabo.
That would not be the place where I would go to hold out.
Right. But guava smoothies, it's a great place to go. So it is – I wonder, do you think there's any players that look at him and think, bruh, come on to the States?
Yeah, I'm sure there are players, you know, because it feels – listen, I go to Cabo to vacation. I go to Cabo to, you know, go on the beach and drink margaritas and go to Squid Row and, you know, all these other places, all these other bars down there. And so it's not the place where you go to stay in shape and to work out. And so I'm not saying that Zeke's not staying in shape, not working out. But, yeah, I'm sure there are players that feel like that. Like, you could be in Texas – holding out, or you could be, you know, I think he's from Ohio, you know, holding out and working out. But I think when you hear Cabo, everybody in here associates Cabo with vacation.
Remember when Tony Romo on an off week a few years ago?
I killed him for that.
He got, and again, it was an off week, but I remember saying on the air, it's just the optics aren't
it's
great.
The optics of it, you open yourself up for scrutiny, and then if you come back, let's say he comes back
and
he doesn't miss games, he's out of shape. The first thing people are going to say was, well, you was in Cabo. What did you expect? You know what I mean? So it's the optics of it. And that's why, again, you know, I think he may miss some games? I think he could miss some games because that's his only leverage.
Reggie Bush, by the way, the college football show.
Yep.
It debuts August 31st.
Ooh.
They didn't give me that list.
I think it's the 20th. It's in a couple days.
What is it,
days,
Sammy?
23
what?
Days from now.
August 31st.
Got 23 days from now.
All right, 23 days from now, and Labor Day weekend. By the way, interesting game. I don't even know what network has it. Auburn, Oregon will be very interesting because Oregon's got the best offensive line in the Pac-10 in Pac-12 in probably a decade.
Yep.
And Auburn
Justin
makes
Herbert.
and
special.
And Auburn makes a living on defensive linemen in the NFL.
They do.
That's a really big game for the West.
I think if Auburn wins it,
they should. If Oregon gets pummeled,
it's huge for the Pac-12.
Because I think Oregon's the most talented Pac-12 team. Maybe not the best, but the most talented.
I agree. And Justin Herbert is special, and I think he has a chance to compete for the Heisman.
Oh, yeah. He's really good.
Yeah, he's really good.
Reggie Bush, special. Good seeing you, bud.
Thank you.